Hello, everybody. This is Robert with yet another Tech Doctor podcast. And along with me is my ever faithful podcasting partner, Allison Hartley. How are things in California today?
Things are great in California. I'm doing really well. And at the time of recording, there are 5 days left until season 4 of House of Cards. So I'm just kind of waiting with bated breath.
Oh, I didn't know you were a big House of Cards fan.
Ever since they came out with audio description, I binge-watched the first 3 seasons, and now I've had to wait for season 4 like everybody else.
We tried watching the first episode of season 1 and just didn't really get into it, but then everybody said it gets a lot better after that.
It gets so much better. You really should give it another chance.
Yeah, in all our spare time, right?
Right.
We should give it a shot. Well, today, we're not going to spend our podcast talking about House of Cards because we're going to talk a bit more about the whole Sonos system, which we have briefly touched on a couple times now on the podcast. And we have along with us someone who is going to share some of his Sonos experience. He's from Toronto, Canada. His name is David Lipofsky. And David, if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about who you are, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. It's great to be on the podcast, and I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I think the two of you do a great job. And by the way, I'm also a House of Cards fan.
Nice.
I'm a lawyer by profession. I'm totally blind, and I was born with partial vision, but became totally blind when I was in law school. I'm 58. I worked for 33 years for the government of Ontario, doing civil and then constitutional and then criminal cases. I retired last December, and I'm now a visiting professor at the Osgoode Hall Law School up here in Toronto. But my main hobby outside of my work is I do disability rights advocacy, not in individual cases, but rather I led the fight for the law that was passed in Ontario that's comparable to the Americans with Disabilities Act, and I'm now involved in advocacy for our federal government to pass a Canadians with Disabilities Act. So I'm always interested in accessibility from all disability perspectives, and both as an advocate and as a blind individual, obviously accessibility of technology is a huge interest for me.
It's great that you're doing that.
Yeah.
Certainly advocacy work is needed everywhere, and I'm guessing just as much in Canada as it is here in the U.S.
Our legislature 10 years ago in Ontario did something groundbreaking by legislating that we have to become fully accessible by 2025, which is a 20-year kind of event horizon. They're not on schedule, and we're pressing them to speed up. But they've been dealing with it both from the perspective of physical accessibility and information technology and all sorts of other issues. So, but we are also happy to sort of connect up with folks from all around the world to learn what they're doing and what we could be doing better.
I'm really glad to hear that information technology is part of it, because I always have the feeling that somehow physical accessibility is still ahead in many ways of where we are with information accessibility. And I'm glad to hear that's built in from the ground up.
Yeah.
Well, one of the messages that we've conveyed is that, you know, the information technology we're going to be using either in education or in the workplace or just for recreation of 5 years from now, it hasn't been bought yet. It hasn't been brought into the stores yet. It hasn't even been designed yet. So if we build accessibility in advance between now and 5 years from now, there's no reason why it can't be all completely accessible. Old buildings are around. They need to be fixed. But the old technology, for the most part, won't matter over time because we can build accessibility in. We've found that what makes us strongest is when we end up advocating for all aspects of accessibility together. So it might be me as a blind person who can walk perfectly fine talking about the need for ramps, and somebody who's in a wheelchair talking about the need for accessible websites, not because they need them, but because we're all in it together.
That's great. It must foster such a great sense of teamwork and interdisability cooperation.
It also avoids us being divided by governments that try to pit us against each other, saying who's more of a priority than who and stuff. If people are interested in learning more about what we're up to, I actually gave a lecture series at my old law school a couple years ago, and it's now all up on YouTube. It's captioned and so on about the history of our efforts, what we've tried, what we've accomplished, and so on. I can send you folks the link. You can put it up on your in connection with the podcast if people want to learn more about us. It's all there.
That'd be great. We'll put it in the show notes.
Well, today we're going to actually talk some more, as I said, about this whole very exciting, not new item on the music scene, but relatively new, this whole way of playing music through some speakers that are very smart from a company called Sonos. And Allison, if you don't mind, since you have the Sonos and you and I have both been studying and reading up on it a bit, for people who didn't hear us talk about it earlier, do you mind just telling people a little bit of an introductory way about what Sonos is and why you're excited about it?
Absolutely. The Sonos is a line of smart Wi-Fi connected speakers. You control these speakers through an app. Through the app, you connect them to your Wi-Fi, and the app itself allows you to have access to not only music that you add through your Sonos library or access through something like your iOS library, but also access to a lot of online services like Amazon Music, Apple Music, TuneIn Radio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, an old-time radio service called RUSC, which stands for Are You Sitting Comfortably, Mixcloud, which is a means of listening to various radio shows that people have uploaded to the cloud. There are just a ton of services that are built into Sonos, and you can access them all in extremely high fidelity sound through these speakers. The small ones are called the Play One speakers. That's what we have right now. And they go all the way up through a soundbar for the TV and a subwoofer called the Sonos Sub. There are also a couple of bigger speakers called the Play 3 and the Play 5s. They're really, really fantastic speakers, as I've said before. And the reason that David contacted us is because he is also a big Sonos fan. And so, David, when we spoke last week, you kind of took us through your journey of how you transitioned from more traditional media like CDs to now what's becoming the traditional media, more of the internet, computer, Sonos-based technology. So why don't you tell the listeners about that?
I've always bemoaned the fact that what's happening in home entertainment has been a huge trend towards bigger, better pictures, but lousier sound. So that on the one hand, there's this high def and there's the, you know, the higher resolution and the bigger screen so that you can see the sweat on people's faces and all that stuff, which is wonderful for people who can see it. But the direction in audio has been to go from CD quality to MP3 quality, which I understand why people use it. I use it too. It fits on your iPhone. You can carry a lot of music around. But it's not as good audio quality. Now, if you're listening on iPhone earphones or on a Bluetooth speaker, it won't make much of a difference. But if you've got a good home stereo, good old-fashioned amplifier and speakers, and you run MP3 sound through them, it doesn't sound very good. The warts in MP3 or similar formats become much more apparent. So when I was looking at doing some upgrading of my stereo, I wanted to see what else might be out there. And I got led to the Sonos system because one of the things you can do with it is you don't have to buy the Sonos speakers at all if you've already got a stereo that you like. What you can do is buy a couple of pieces from Sonos. First thing you do is you connect a hard drive like a NAS drive up to your router. I have an Apple Extreme router, and you just plug an external hard drive into it. You put a bunch of music on that hard drive in a better format, a more high-quality audio format. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. And then you plug another device into the router, which is the Sonos Bridge. And what the Sonos Bridge does is it creates a Wi-Fi network in your house separate from your Wi-Fi network. So it doesn't grab bandwidth from people in the house who are watching Netflix or whatever, or downloading on their computer. It's a separate one altogether. And you can then stream that music either to one of those Sonos speakers that you were just talking about, if that's what you want to buy. But if you have your own stereo already and you don't want to buy Sonos speakers because your stereo is actually better quality than them, what you buy is a device called a Sonos Connect. And it's a little box that just plugs into the back of your stereo like an input, like a CD player would be, or a DVD player or whatever. And then it becomes a sound source on your stereo. So the music comes from this hard drive plugged into your router through the bridge, the Sonos bridge, out through this private parallel Wi-Fi network into your stereo. You can control it using the iPhone iOS app for Sonos, which is a free app and which is a very accessible app. Now, let me talk to you about the music format you can use. If you put a nice big hard drive on your router, so it's not limited by the size of your iPhone or whatever, you can go put a 2 terabyte one or whatever you want. And now you're not limited by having to crunch your music down to MP3 format because you need it so small that it won't hog too much space. So the format that Sonos, one of the ones it can handle and which I'm using, is FLAC, F-L-A-C, which stands for Free Lossless Audio Codecs. There's a debate on the internet, which I read the whole debate, about whether it's as good as CD quality. I think the best resolution is to tell you that on a smaller device or poorer speakers, you won't hear a difference. On really good system, you might note a slight quality loss, but it's way better than MP3. How do you convert your music to FLAC? Well, you can use any number of free apps on your computer. I can't even remember the one I use because I've got several. And you just pop a CD in and you rip it to FLAC and you save it on your computer. Then you copy it onto that hard drive that's going to go on your network. It keeps all of the metadata. So when you import it into your Sonos library, there it is all sorted by musician and so on. And you can select albums or tracks or search or whatever. And you can hear it in whatever room you've got your Sonos receiver. And it sounds great. You can have Sonos speakers or the Sonos Connect in different rooms. You can have all the rooms playing the same music and have different rooms playing different music. So one person's in the basement listening to one thing, somebody's upstairs listening to another thing. And it's great. And then if you want to add more music to it, somebody sends you a CD or gives you some music in FLAC format. You can do MP3, of course, but my point is if you want better quality, you've got this option. You can then use your network at home to paste it onto that hard drive, and there you go. You got more music. Every time you want to update the Sonos library, if you copy more music onto the hard drive that's connected to your router, you just go on the app and go down a couple of menus, and there's a button called Update My Library. You press it. It takes maybe a couple of seconds, and bang, it's all updated, and it's in the index. The other main thing I'd offer people is that, I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I'm not particularly happy the way Apple has been changing their native music app. I liked it a lot back in iOS 6 and 7, and more recently I found that it's been more of a pain to use. Yeah, we can use it, but it's just not as easy to use. I talked to the AppleCare, wonderful AppleCare helpline, the one for folks with accessibility issues. They're fantastic people, and a couple of the operators there candidly told me that they either shared my concern or had heard my concern from others, but that Apple had been moving in the direction of making the native iOS music app look kind of more like Spotify or whatever these various services are. And we're unfortunately losing out a bit in terms of functionality. Well, I find the Sonos music app, frankly, much easier to navigate than the iOS music app. So I'm quite happy using it. Now, as Allison mentioned, you still have access to all of that TuneIn Radio stuff and whatever. Sadly, we in Canada are geo-blocked from Pandora. You can also stream music right from your iPhone, whether it's MP3 format or whatever. So you got all those options. By the way, when you take out the app so people have a sense of it, if you've got more than one room running, you can either group the rooms together or you can select one particular room. So you tap on it and you go, family room, and then select the music you want and hit play, and it'll say either play next because you'll queue it up or play now. You can also, in the app, select favorites. If you've got a, you know, a big music collection and you don't want to have to scroll through a million albums, you could create playlists on it or set favorites. And then you just go to the favorites menu, pick the album you know you always like, and off you go.
That's awesome. What I really like about Sonos Favorites is if you're like me and you have a bunch of services connected to your Sonos, you can have channels and stations from different services all in your favorites, and it makes it an easy way to just find, you know, the CNN channel on TuneIn or the 90s on 9 channel. Yes, I admit to listening to that on SiriusXM.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can have under favorites, you can have radio stations, you can also have music. There is one limitation that I should let people know, and it's an inherent limitation with Sonos. If you're with me on the desire to move to a higher audio resolution than what you can do with MP3, even if it's 512 bitrate and so on, and you like FLAC format, then if you go on the internet, you might find that they've actually invented a higher FLAC resolution than CD quality. I apologize, I can't remember what the exact bit rate is, but in any event, and there are some websites that sell music in this higher than CD quality in FLAC format, and the problem is Sonos won't handle it. And I talked to the Sonos helpline and before I bought it, and they just said, no, our product just doesn't handle it. It may be that it just crams too much data through their private Wi-Fi network. They set it in your home, whatever. Now, frankly, I'm still really happy I've got it. And the music that is out there on these higher than CD quality FLAC format resolution, it's growing, but it's also expensive. You buy it online and it's like $20-some-odd an album. Some is even more, I think. But if you ever want one of those, if it's there's your absolute favorite album in the world and someone's done some amazing job of remastering, you can always download it, burn it onto a DVD. The other thing, I just, in preparation for today, I took a look at the Sonos website and I saw there's actually a feature which I have not used yet, but you can actually plug a peripheral device like an MP3 player into the Sonos Connect. That's the box that's plugged into your stereo. And then stream it around your house. So if you've got a Victor Stream or something, and it's got the options, I think, of analog or digital. I could be wrong. But in any event, you can, if you've got a book you want to read and you want to hear it all over the place, you do have that option as well.
So just to make sure that everyone is clear, I believe I'm right in my thinking that really we're talking kind of about two different setups here, both of them, of course, using Sonos equipment. But you're talking about, David, using special Sonos equipment to connect your existing stereo. And Allison, you're talking about the Sonos speakers, which don't require any additional stereo equipment to connect to the internet and to allow you to play your music from the Sonos app. Is that right?
I mean,
it's two different things.
Right. They connect directly to the internet, and there's no need for the bridge or the Kinect product. But yeah, if we had a nice stereo, we might have gone the same route as David.
Yeah, so for a lot of people who live in an apartment or a dorm room and they just want basically something that looks like a Bluetooth speaker, but it's going to play nicer quality because Bluetooth itself has got some limitations on how much traffic it can handle. Those affordable Sonos speakers are a good deal, and they're quite a good product. I'm adding to the conversation for those of us who may be a little more old-fashioned, but who like to have a stereo system and would like to have the benefit of this and don't want to feel constrained by MP3 audio quality.
What would happen then if you wanted to expand your system to other rooms, David? What would you have to have in your bedroom to get that Sonos sound?
Okay, I could, if I have a stereo in my bedroom, I can buy another Sonos Connect device, which is the one that plugs into your amplifier. If I didn't have a stereo in my bedroom and I didn't want to go spend all the money on the stereo in my bedroom, I could go buy one of those Sonos speakers that Allison was talking about. You can plug it in and it will also talk to this sort of home Wi-Fi network that you've created.
So as long as you've created the network, you can mix and match at that point. You can
Absolutely.
Use your regular stereo or you can use Sonos speakers. That's a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, right. And the other thing they talked about online, and this is for people, okay, now we're going to go from off the dial to way off the dial, but if you've got you're in a place where you want to have the network extend further than it goes, like let's say you want to put something outside, apparently you can buy another, I can't remember, it's another Sonos Bridge or Sonos Connect, I can't remember which one it is, but it's up on their website, and it will actually pick up and then extend your network. Now, we're now talking about people who've got enough space that that's a problem. And for most people, that's not the case. But in any event, it's just that is one of the pieces of flexibility they've built into this, which is quite clever.
And each Sonos Play One speaker, if you go for the speakers from Sonos, they actually have an Ethernet port. So if you wanted to plug them directly into your router, you could do that. But our Wi-Fi, thankfully, is fast enough that we haven't had the need to do that.
And I think maybe we should also point out that you can buy one Sonos speaker and play your music through that. But if you want to have your music played in stereo, you can buy two Sonos speakers and pair them in such a way that you'll get the two stereo channels.
Absolutely. The other thing that I just encourage folks listening to the podcast to know about, if they're in any way thinking about this or want to explore more, the Sonos company has a really helpful helpline, and perhaps we can get the number for you to post on your show notes. I talked to them before I bought, and then after I got this all set up, I actually called them for help setting it up, because I had a, you know, the guy, folks who were selling me this, they plugged stuff into the router and then said, thank you very much, goodbye. And I didn't know where to start, so I called the Sonos helpline, and they were kind enough to send me to a website where they could get into my computer. They installed all the software. They updated my library. They did absolutely everything in about 10 minutes or less. And there I went. And by the way, you can also install the app on any number of your iOS devices. It's not just on one. And there's a passwording process where they get into it. And they're connecting to the Sonos system in your home through Wi-Fi. So you don't have to be in Bluetooth range. You could be upstairs and turn off Sonos speakers and, you know, downstairs. You can install a Sonos app on a PC running JAWS. And then you can be navigating it using your laptop if you don't have an iPhone or you otherwise want to use your computer to control it, or you decide that you've got a bit more versatility using your computer to control it.
There's also a Mac app as well, I believe, and I haven't gotten the chance to try it out for accessibility yet, but it's out there.
There is a Mac app, and I understand that it's usable with some fairly minor accessibility issues. I haven't used it either, but that's what I understand. Let's say that I should get a set of Sonos speakers, which I'm planning to do very soon. I've been saving my pennies. Let's say that I install the app on my phone, and of course, I have a subscription to Apple Music, which I enjoy a lot. My wife, on the other hand, is not subscribed to Apple Music, so she installs the Sonos app on her phone. Does she then have access to Apple Music through the Sonos system or no?
As long as she connects to the same Sonos speakers as you, because I know when Jeremy, my husband, installed his app on the computer, he was immediately able to connect to all of the services that I had set up on the iPhone.
Now, the other thing, just for people out there listening to this, one of the things that would cross my mind is, do I have to learn a whole bunch of new gestures? Because, you know, there are a million great apps out there, but everyone can call on you to have to spend the time sitting down figuring it out. You'll learn to navigate around it over time, and the helpline is there to help you. But I found after you hit the play button, the good old-fashioned double finger, double tap will pause it and will resume it.
Yep.
So the phone rings, you just do that gesture that we all know, like in our sleep, and it stops it, and then you resume it, and you're fine. Or you go running downstairs, the music's playing upstairs, and you want to just turn it off because you're not going to be up there anymore. You just double finger, double tap, and it's done.
That's good to know. Just this week on AppleViz, someone raised a question. They said, I just bought a Play 5 speaker, and I've got the iPhone app running on an iPhone 6, and I'm finding the app only somewhat accessible, especially in the area where you set up new services. She was saying that sometimes she could get to different services, and sometimes they just didn't seem to be appearing for her, and she'd tried swiping and exploring by touch and the various things, and she was wanting to know, could anyone help her, or did anyone else have this kind of experience? Have you all experienced any of these kinds of accessibility problems with the app?
The area in which you add services does appear to be the only portion of the app in which there are some accessibility issues. I have found some workarounds. What you have to do is, yes, largely explore by touch and feel down the screen for the different services. And then you need to scroll up with three fingers to move down through the screens to get to subsequent services. And I think there are like 10 or 11 pages of services if you scroll up in that way. And that allows you to touch on each service and then double tap to go into it. And then the process of adding your account information should be relatively accessible from there.
The only service I've been using on it has been TuneIn Radio, which comes with it, so it's not been an issue for me. The one little gesture trick I've learned, and this, again, may just be me, but I've found that their back button isn't necessarily where you expect it to be in the top left, but if you do a four-finger single tap at the top of your screen and then tap at the top left where you think the back button to be, it's there. So it's just a bit of an added gesture you got to get used to. But once you're used to it, you just do it without thinking.
Yeah, a lot of apps have little quirks like that that
sure.
You have to work around. And not to overdo this, Allison, but I gather you're saying that you don't see these accessibility issues in adding services as suggesting that someone not pursue this, because I take it you have been able to successfully add whatever services you wanted to add.
Oh, yes. I've added 6 or 7 different services since I got the Sonos, and I was able to do it completely independently once I figured out the scrolling need.
If people are uncertain about whether they think they are comfortable with it or whatever, one thing you could do, at least up here, I've seen the Sonos speakers, for example, in the Best Buy, and you just have to be on the same Wi-Fi as them. So if you go in the store, download the app, and just sit there and try to play, ask them if you can play with it for a couple of minutes, see how it works.
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
And if you like it, let her rip.
Excellent. Well, you all have pretty well sold me here. I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on those two Play 5 speakers. And
yeah, quit talking about it already and do
quit
it.
Quit talking about it.
And just total disclaimer, I do not own any shares in the company. I don't work for them.
So I'm going to pull the trigger on those and enjoy them over spring break that we have coming up in a couple weeks here. So I'm pretty excited about that.
And if anybody wants to reach out to me, by the way, best way to reach me is Twitter, where I am very active doing advocacy on accessibility and other things. And it's at David Lepofsky. I'll spell it DavidLepofsky.
Excellent. And we will put all of the information that we've talked about that will help you locate Sonos and Sonos information in the show notes, as well as your advocacy information, David, if you'll send that to me.
I will do that. And on behalf of all of your loyal listeners to this podcast who have not authorized me to speak for them, thanks for doing such a great job. You two put a lot of time into this, and you do a great job. And my only complaint, as I told you we talked last week, is that you cost me money because I listen to you talking about things and then I want to go out and get one.
We love it when people spend their money.
Yep. Especially. And thank you for being such an awesome listener and for being a great guest, too.
Yes, thank you very much. And Allison, if they want to get in touch with us, I've forgotten. Is there a way, or do people just have to hope we'll mind read what they are thinking?
Well, mind reading takes a while, in my estimation. So the best way to get in contact with us is to send an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com. Send an email like David, and maybe someday you'll be a guest.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you all very much for listening to this Sonos-laden episode of the Tech Doctor podcast. This is Robert, one of the Tech Doctors, saying so long for now.
And this is Allison, the other Tech Doctor, saying bye, everyone.